Praise the Lord. Tonight I'm going to be speaking about overcoming intimidation. And I am blessed that we have pastors at The Rock that are not scared to tell us like it is. And we had those of you who were here on the weekend, I was in second service on Sunday, and Pastor Jim got up and he told us, I was rebuked about the use of my cell phone, not coming to church on time, not respecting the house of God enough. We hadn't even got to the sermon yet. And, but you know what? It hurt good. And it's so great to have pastors who are not intimidated. And pastors who just tell you the truth, because you know what? Everybody, all our politicians and people, they just, you know, they make an art of not telling you what is really happening. And we need people in the house of God. And we need to be people who are not intimidated and can speak the truth in love. And so we're going to speak tonight about overcoming intimidation. Just so that many of you people don't know a lot about my background, my wife Lisa and myself, we spent many years with a man of God by the name of Reinhard Bonnke. And Reinhard was very much a spiritual father to me and mentored me in the things of God. And those of you who don't know his ministry, he has had crowds of up to 1.6 million in Africa in a single meeting. Live, 1.6 million, that's 16 Rose Bowls of people. And over a million people saved in a single meeting. And if there's anyone that I've watched and traveled with, and I was his television producer, so I was filming 5 feet away, ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner with this man, and saw his life, and saw his ability to confront intimidation and intimidating situations and overcome them. And this is what, if this is an area that we as believers, if we don't learn to do this, it will jeopardize our destinies, it will jeopardize our salvation, it will jeopardize our ability to have victory in our Christian walk. Just to start with a story with Reinhard, where, and I'll tell a few of these tonight, where he was in Australia praying before a service, and my wife actually, before the service, had a word, which I'll share in a moment, for tonight. And as he was praying, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, tonight in the meeting, I want you to call out a young man by the name of John. And Reinhard began to argue with God. He said, God, nobody's going to think that's a word from God, because every third person in Australia is called John. It's like calling out Kim in Korea. And he had this back and forth, but the Lord said to him, but his name is John. Can't change his name. And Reinhard didn't know that that morning a mother had been praying. She had a 16-year-old son who was away from God and had fallen away from his walk with God. And as she was praying, as the mother was praying, the Holy Spirit spoke and said, ask your son to come to the meeting tonight, because the preacher and the minister is going to call your son out by name. And the mother turned to the son and said, son, please come tonight, because God just spoke to me. If you come tonight, God's going to call you out by name. And the mother asked the son to come that night. The son turned to the mother and said, if God calls me out by name tonight, my life will belong to him and I will serve him all my days. And that night when Reinhard got up, you know, intimidated by the word, intimidated by the crowd, thinking, what are people going to think? And he just said, there's a young man by the name of John tonight, and God's calling you out by name. And that boy came running to the altar, weeping and crying, and gave his heart to Jesus. Amen. We have to learn to stand up against intimidation. And I want to just talk a little bit about what is intimidation and what is the spirit of intimidation, because we must identify that intimidation, there is a spiritual force behind it. I don't know exactly how the demonic world works, but all I know is that there are spiritual powers behind intimidation. And those powers exercise, and you can discern intimidation, because whenever there's a spirit of manipulation and control, there's a spirit of intimidation in the wings. Whenever you're feeling manipulated and controls, and there are individuals who manipulate and control whole nations. And those of you who know about the dictators of the past century, and we have some of them alive today. So whenever there's a spirit of manipulation and control, whenever that's there, it can happen in a family, it can happen in a business, it can happen, you know, in a city, it can happen in the political realm, and it can happen in so many areas of life. But there will be manipulation and control. Almost always there's intimidation to comply. I really believe that behind peer pressure, when kids are at school and there's this strong peer pressure that, you know, it's the kids feel bullied, or they feel a strong intimidation behind it. It's not just a natural thing. It's not just kids being mean to each other. But there is a spirit of intimidation trying to manipulate it to get other kids to conform. And so many kids end up trying drugs or doing something that they would never have done, because that spirit of intimidation causes them to cross the line. And then we find that whenever that intimidating spirit comes and shows up on the scene, there's very often a tangible sense of fear, and very often a sense of a fear of failure. We're going to look at some scriptures and some examples. I can't think of a more intimidating environment than what we saw this last weekend at the Super Bowl. I cannot imagine being a quarterback in the Super Bowl. I mean, can you imagine the intimidation in that position? The intimidation from, you know, your own teammates to deliver. Intimidation from, you know, the coaches. Then you've got a whole slew of coaches on the other side that their entire lives are spent studying to try and intimidate you and get into your brain. Then you've got the linebackers who, you know, all they want to do is have you carried off in a stretcher. And then, you know, you've got, you know, 50% of the fans at least who are, you know, also wanting to do you harm. You've got, you know, 50 million people watching you on television. I can't imagine the pressure that comes with that. You've got, you know, your own hometown that's either, you know, going to love you or hate you the next day. And you've got the media, you know, who are going to analyze you, and the intimidation that comes from that. And then you have to deliver and stand up in the face of that. And the quarterback that delivers is the one that wins the game. So when you overcome intimidation, the people who can stand in the face of intimidation and they can overcome, they are the ones that are going to have victory in life. They're the ones that are going to succeed. They're the ones that are going to deliver. And all of us can be overcomers. All of us can learn to, number one, discern whenever that spirit of intimidation shows its face. Number two, when we discern it's coming in the spiritual realm, we need to learn what it takes as a believer to be able to overcome it. The thing is, I was studying this, and John Bevere has a great series called Breaking Intimidation. I really recommend that series, and I've had to do a lot of work on that series, which has been one of the areas that has begun dealing with this in my life. But probably the scariest thing that I've discovered as I've researched in this area of intimidation, and I've begun to really look at life in a very different way. Whenever you fail to overcome intimidation, you jeopardize your calling. It's not just, oh, well, I just failed to overcome intimidation. There is very serious consequences in the Word of God. And the Bible talks about us being required to overcome intimidation. And it's something that I really believe that as we get a hold of this tonight, that it's going to bring tremendous healing. And that was the word that came to my wife earlier, was that Men's hearts fail them for fear when they look at things coming on the earth, the Bible says. But tonight God's going to give many of you wisdom to overcome intimidation, that your hearts will no longer fear, and that your hearts will be healed tonight because of the Word of God that comes to you. Amen? And I believe that's a word from the Holy Spirit for all of us tonight. I want us to look at the story of David and Goliath, because there's so many tremendous lessons in this particular story. David and Goliath, something we all grew up with, but I want you to look at it from the perspective of David and intimidation, and the types of intimidation that came against him, because they're the types of intimidation that come against us. We may say, oh, well, that was just David and Goliath, but you know what? All of us have Goliaths in our lives. And they do everything they can to try and push us down. To me, the spirit of intimidation is very much like the, you know, the Wizard and the Wizard of Oz, where, you know, it's bravado. It's trying to make, you know, us afraid. It's trying to dominate us. It's trying to make it out like it's much stronger. The Bible says the devil like a roaring lion. He is not a roaring lion. He just tries to act like one. And we have to learn to stand up against him. And David, as this young kid in Israel, you know, he's out there with his sheep and he comes into the battle. And we pick it up in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 8. We're going to go through very quickly the story, but I want you to look at it through these eyes. Now, Goliath, this is in chapter 1 Samuel 17:8. It says, then he, Goliath, he stood and he cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. What does the spirit of intimidation bring? Fear. It's intimidating. And all Goliath is doing is he's bravadoing. He is dominating. He's saying, come on, come on. And he's bringing upon fear and dismay on the people. Because when you look at those type of circumstances, and many of us have Goliaths in our lives, and they do everything they can, and the devil tries to use them to intimidate us, to get us to bow down, to get us to tremble and to step back and to not stand up against him. Now it says in verse 12, David was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. He had eight sons. In verse 14, David was the youngest son, and the three oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And so it says, and the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dry grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp. Carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000. See how your brothers fare and bring back news from them. David comes in and he watches the 40th day of this guy coming out and intimidating an entire army, one single man. But David looks at this in a different way. Because faith frightens Satan. Amen? And we have not been given a spirit of fear. We have been given a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And God has put a spirit of faith in us that we can stand up against the spirit of intimidation. Amen? David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And David begins to stand up, the 17-year-old kid standing up against this massive 7, 8 foot, 9 foot giant, however big he was. In verse 28 comes the first intimidation against David. So this kid's arrived on the scene, 40 days, everybody's cowering, they're terrified, they're dismayed, they're living in fear. And David stands up and he says, and he begins to speak words of faith. But the first thing that happens is that his older brother, in verse 28, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard what he spoke to the men, and Eliab his anger was aroused against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. You've come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" You know what? Some of the greatest intimidations come from people who are close to us. They come from family. They come from people that are around us. Here's his oldest brother, supposed to be, you know, his example in life. And his older brother, you know, instead of saying, "Hey, somebody's speaking words of faith," his older brother tries to just to crush him. He says, "What are you doing?" And he accuses David of pride and insolence, and he tries to dominate. I'm sure that happened a lot while they were growing up together. Many, many times people around us are the people who the enemy uses to bring that assault of intimidation against us. And this little kid, David, I believe why God loved this kid so much, because, you know, he brushes it aside. He said, "Is there not a cause?" And he stands up against it, and he pushes his brother aside. He pushes that criticism. He pushes that intimidation. And he refuses to bow to it. And I believe by the end of this message tonight, we will stand up against the spirits of intimidation, and we will not bow to them. Amen. David moves on, and he goes to the tent of the king. Here's the king of Israel. He has this young kid that comes in before him. Tiny little guy. Bible says he was, you know, red-faced and maybe red hair, and he just was, you know, just a young teenager. Standing before Saul, who's the Bible says was a foot and a half taller than all the other men. He's standing before the king of the nation. And David says, "Hey, give me a chance at Goliath. Let me have a chance to go at him." And now the king intimidates David, or tries. In verse 32, this is, "Then David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of this man. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.' And then Saul answers back and says to David, 'You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth.' And so the king of the nation now says to David, 'You're not able to do this. You're just a kid. And this guy's a man of war. You'll never, never stand against him.'" Now that's intimidating. Now we have authority speaking into David's life. Now we have the king of a nation telling him, "You can't do this." Let me tell you, I have more and more respect for David as a result of this story, of understanding it through the eyes of intimidation, than I ever had before. Can you imagine David just had to brush by his brother's, you know, domination and his brother's intimidation? Now he comes to the king, and the king is now intimidating him. You'd think the king would say, "Oh, we're so grateful somebody's willing to fight this guy." He doesn't. He just says, "You cannot do this. You're just a kid. There's no way that he's a man of war." He tries to take the side of the giant. So David has to stand up against the authority of a king. He's respectful, but he does not budge. He refuses to bow to it, and he refuses to let that spirit dominate him. Are you with me, church? And so it comes on in verse 36. David says to the king, he says, "Your servant has killed both a lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he's defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" See, David had to not bow, and he had to stand up against that intimidation. As huge of authority as Saul had, and as respectful as David was, he also still understood that this was not coming from God, and he understood that this was the enemy behind it. And he understood that he could not bow to it, and he refused to bow to it. Amen? And then we come to verse 42. And David now has given permission. He gets his stones and he gets his slingshot. And he now comes and now he faces this 7, 8, 9 foot giant, however big you want to make him. He's big. And this giant now tries to intimidate him. Because so much of this intimidation is in a mental game. It's something that happens. It's a war that goes on in your mind. And it's with the power of words. You won't survive. You've gotten this disease. You're going to die like everybody else in your family that died of that. You have this problem. Oh, you're always going to be... It's a spiritual force, but it's dominated by words. In verse 42, it says, when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. He was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? The Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me. I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And now the intimidation is coming from the giant out of his mouth. Trying to disdain David, trying to push him down, trying to dominate him, trying to intimidate him to back down. And David slings his shot and takes him out. And cuts off his head. And an entire nation wins a battle. Because when you overcome intimidation one and intimidation two and intimidation, when you overcome all the intimidations that the enemy throws at you, you will take down your Goliath and you will dominate, and the victory of God will dominate in the situation. Amen. I can't imagine the war that went on in David's mind. He was intimidated by his own thoughts. And in all three situations, he dominated. In all three situations, he prevailed. And I believe that this was what touched the heart of God. To say, David is a man after my heart. David will do all of my will. Because unless you learn to overcome intimidation, you will never fulfill the will of God for your life. Because this is one of the primary ways that the devil will use to try and stop you. He'll do everything he can to throw intimidation in your way. Now, I'm going to give you some practical ways, because we want to just give you some very, very practical ways that you can overcome intimidation. These are things that you need to do when you are faced with a spirit of intimidation. And I want to talk about specifically an area which all of us, I think, face. And that's the area of sickness and healing. If there's ever an area that we get attacked by an intimidating spirit, it's in this area. Because we get symptoms in our bodies or symptoms in our wife or our husband, whoever, you know, people close in our family. And then that fear begins to come on you. And then the enemy begins to dominate. And then those thoughts begin to come into your mind. And that intimidating, you know, thoughts of the enemy just begin to come like a barrage. They come, you know, in rapid fire against your mind and against your thinking. I want us to look at Jesus as he faces one of the greatest miracles that he did in raising a person from the dead. In Mark chapter 5, verse 35, Jesus is actually in a crowd and he's being asked to come and heal the daughter of the ruler of the synagogue. And he's in the crowd and a woman comes and touches him. You probably know the story. She gets healed. And then as that miracle ends, suddenly the people come from the ruler's house and they say, hey, just tell Jesus to stop. He can just stay where he's at. The child's dead. And most of us, when we hear the person's dead, I mean, that's it. To us, it's a final thing. It's gone. It's happened. There's nothing you can do. Well, now, you know, just look at preparations to bury the child. And it's interesting how Jesus handles the situation. In Mark 5, verse 35, it says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid. Spirit of intimidation. What comes for next? Fear. He says, don't fear. Don't let this get to you. Don't let it come. He says, only believe. And then verse 37, and he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Now, Jesus immediately selected only a few people who he knew who had faith. Whenever you're faced with intimidation, you're faced with bad news, you're faced with situations where the enemy you know is going to try and intimidate you, you need to limit the influence of people in the circumstances to people who have faith. You don't want to put every doubter and every person who's going to tear you down. You don't want to listen to all those voices that are going to try and be used by the enemy to add their line to the chorus. So you're going to have to limit. So Jesus chooses a handful of people. He says, Peter, James, John. He says, you guys come with me. The rest of you stay behind. And he now goes to the house and he now says to the guy, don't be afraid. Believe. And that's a word to many of us. And so they go to the house. It says, in verse 38, he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. They ridiculed him. Very often when there's ridicule and there's people who, just like the, you know, Goliath did to David, he disdained him, he ridiculed him. You know what? That's a spirit of intimidation behind it. But when he had put them all outside, interesting, he didn't let them all hang around because these were the people that already had made up their mind. They already had no faith. They already did not believe. He put them all outside. He already only brought the people that he trusted, and now he put everybody else outside. Because Jesus knew to work this miracle, he needed to have an atmosphere of faith. And he needed to reduce the influence of the spirit of intimidation into the midst of it. There's a lesson in this for us. It says, and they ridiculed. It says, but he put them all outside. He took the father and the mother and of the child, and those who were with him, those few people he had chosen, and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumai, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, and she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. You see, Jesus dominated it. He dominated it. But he had to limit the influence of the people around who would be used by the spirit of intimidation against him. Amen? Amen? That's number one. And limit the associations with people who are cooperating with the spirit of intimidation. And sometimes you're going to hear things out of people's mouths and you just say that, I don't receive that. You've got to be like David. Is it not a cause? You got to push it aside. You cannot allow. And it's not that we can always take out everybody, because we're always going to face people like in the Super Bowl. They have those things no matter what. David had those intimidations. But if you have a chance to limit them, you try. Amen? And then, so number one is limit the people, association with people who cooperate with the spirit of intimidation. B, you need to learn to fear God more than man, and more than the situation. You have to learn that it's not the enemy that you fear, it's God that you fear. See, David's eyes were on the armies of the living God. Everything he cased, everything he spoke, everything he said, this Philistine is coming against God. He didn't look at this as a battle between David and Goliath. He looked at it as a battle between Goliath and God. We've got to see that we represent Christ on the earth. We represent Him, and we are His representatives, and we are the presence of God in every situation. And so the enemy will do everything he can to try and come against us, because he really hates Jesus. You belong to Christ. You are His representative. And so we must learn to fear God more than man. Because when you fear God, let me tell you, I've been overseas in Singapore. There's very little problem with drugs in Singapore because there's a thing called the death penalty. And when people want to do drugs, they're like, you know what? We're pretty scared of the consequence of this thing. You know, there's almost no drugs in Singapore. Because people fear the consequence more than they fear the peer pressure. Are you with me, church? And we see the same thing in other situations. There's very little stealing that happens in the Middle East because, you know, they cut off your hand if you steal something. I don't know if it's worth taking that little thing you find on the floor, you know, to lose your hand. You know, you fear the consequence more than you fear, than you want to do what's wrong. But when we fear God in a good sense, then we don't care what man thinks. And that spirit of intimidation loses part of its control. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew 10. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It's enough for a disciple that he's like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them. There's nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And whatever you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, Pastor Jim quotes a verse almost every single Sunday. Jesus is in the same sentence now. He's in the same paragraph. And he's telling us, don't fear what people say. Don't fear what they think. Don't fear, you know, fear God. Because, you know what, that's ultimately who you're going to have to please. And then Jesus goes on in verse 32, which is just two, three verses later. He says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father, who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father, who is in heaven. It's in the same thought. What Jesus is saying is, look, fear God. Because the more you fear God, then you're not caring. You're caring what God thinks. You know that ultimately you're going to stand before His throne. And if you fear men more than you fear God, you will bow to the spirit of intimidation. If you fear God more than you fear men, you will overcome intimidation. Amen? So the Bible says we must fear God more than the situation, more than the people that are there, and more than the circumstances. So, number one, limit the people around you. Number two, focus on God and focus on pleasing Him. And so with many people here may not, you know, they may be intimidated by the crowd. Oh, I don't want to put up my hand and accept Jesus because, you know, I feel embarrassed. And Pastor Jim talks about that. But you know what? It doesn't matter what people think. Because ultimately you're going to stand and Jesus says, if you confess me, I will confess you. But if you deny me, you lose your salvation. Who wants that? Don't bow to intimidation. Amen? Now this is the third point. Understand who is in you, who's with you, and who's around you. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, you've overcome them. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You've got to understand that God is in you. And when you walk into a room, God walks into the room. I was in high school, I'd gotten saved, but I was kind of backslid. I wasn't really walking with God. And I walked into a room, and there were friends of mine were playing with a Ouija board. And I mean, the Ouija board went berserk. It just, I mean, and there just fear just came up on the whole group that were messing with it and playing with it. And you know what? What I learned from that was that when I walked in there, the Spirit of God walked in there, Christ walked in there, and whatever demonic power was operating, it freaked out. When you walk into your office or you walk into any situation, God walks in. Because God lives in you, and greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen? And Jesus says in Hebrews 13, verse 5, He Himself said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? You see, when you understand that God lives in you, and Jesus said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, and the Bible says we can boldly say that He is with us, He is my helper, and we will not fear. What can man do to me? Amen? We can boldly say it because we know He's not only in us, but He says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And so you can boldly proclaim, He is my helper and man can do nothing against me. Amen? These are things that you can do to build your faith so that you can stand up against the spirit of intimidation. None of us must bow to the Spirit. We've got to understand that our salvation, our destinies, the children of Israel lost their entire destiny because they were intimidated by the giants of the land. And they came there, they go, oh, the giants are too big. Oh, I mean, God just opened the Red Sea and He just killed the whole army of Pharaoh in front of their eyes. But there they were scared to go in because they did not understand God was with them. Amen? You as believers, when you walk into a place, God is both in you, but He walks in there with you. Amen? And then in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14, you must understand who's around you. God's not only in you, He's not only with you, but there are angels and there are spiritual powers and there are an incredible host of heaven. What happens here is that it says, therefore he, the king, sent horses and chariots and a great army. They came to the city. They surrounded Elisha. And the servant wakes up in the morning and he's just terrified. The servant of the man of God rose early and went out, and there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Fear and intimidation comes against him. So he answered, do not fear. How many times have we heard that tonight? Don't fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man. He saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Amen? God is in you. God is with you, and He has a host of His armies around you. That's why you can boldly confront the spirit of intimidation and say, what can man do to me? I fear God more than the situation. I fear God more than what I'm going through. I will not bow to the spirit, and I'm going to stand up against it. And when you stand up against it, you'll dominate. The final thing is that you need to pray and ask God to develop a boldness and courage in you. And you have to make a decision to be bold. You have to make a decision to be full of courage. Because Jesus, the Bible says that He faces this massive onslaught of intimidation all through His, especially when He went to the cross. And the Bible describes His posture. The Bible says that Jesus set His face like a flint. He set His face like a flint to stand up against that. You see, He refused to bow to it, and He set His face like a flint. He made a decision in His heart, I am not going to bend. When He was beaten across the back, whatever He went through, He stood up to it. And He broke its power through the cross. Joshua was coming to the promised land. And he's about to enter, and Moses had passed away, and now Joshua is about to take the reins. And God is speaking to Joshua and saying, you're going to have to do a great thing for me. But God says about three times in Joshua 1 verse 5, God says to Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Does that sound like us? Be strong and of good courage, For to this people you'll divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen? God's calling us to a place of courage. He's calling us to a place of boldness. You may be a 17-year-old kid. You may be, it doesn't make a difference how old or how young you are. You are still going to face those intimidating spirits. You still have to decide that you're not going to bow to them. You're not going to bend to the spirits of control and manipulation. You're not going to bend to those spirits that try to hold you back from doing the will of God and doing what you know that you're supposed to do. You're not going to submit to the spirit of fear. That spirit of fear comes against you. You've got to stand up against it. You've got to be strong and very courageous, because faith frightens Satan. Amen? I told you I work with Reinhard Bonnke. And I was telling Pastor Dan and Pastor Luke at lunch today, when I joined his ministry, they had just built the largest movable tent in the world. I mean, this thing was 7 stories high. It was the size of 2 football fields when they put it up. It seated 36,000 people. The reason Reinhard built this tent was that earlier in his ministry, he had a smaller tent. It only seated 10,000 people. They called it the yellow tent. And Reinhard, one day, he would travel to different parts of Africa and he'd put up this yellow tent, this 10,000-seater. And, you know, he would, you know, gather all the people from the villages would come around. They would come and he'd have a crusade meeting and he'd win souls and he'd turn them over to the churches and he'd move his tent to another location. He would do this for years and years. He traveled in Africa. And one day he was resting, sleeping in his you know, wherever, his little tent that he had next to the big one. And his workers came running to him and they said, come quickly, Reinhard, the tent is going to be destroyed. It's going to be wiped out. Reinhard came running out and he looked on the horizon. Was a massive, massive storm. It was like a hurricane, and it was coming at a rapid rate at the tent. I mean, literally coming right in the pathway. And Reinhard knew that this thing was going to wipe out his tent. And so he ran and stood between the yellow tent and the storm. And he faced it down. And he said to the devil, he said, Satan, if you destroy this tent, I will build another one 3 times larger. Amen. You have to stand in the face of that intimidating circumstance. Don't bow to it. Don't run in fear. Don't be afraid. Be full of courage. And as he spoke those words out, suddenly the winds stopped. And the storm stopped. And suddenly all the winds changed. And they went the other direction. And the storm moved in exactly, it stopped in its tracks and went the opposite direction. And Reinhard said to the devil, said, devil, I don't make any deals with you. I'm still going to build a tent 3 times bigger. Amen? And he built a tent 36,000 people that had seated. But you see, faith frightens Satan. And when you stand in the face of intimidation, I'm telling you, it is like the Wizard of Oz. The devil's like a roaring lion. He makes a circumstance look like it's, you know, it's insurmountable. There's no way you'll get over it. But you've got to stand in that. You've got to learn to face it. You've got to learn to be full of boldness and courage. You've got to stand in its face. And you've got to speak against it. And you've got to take a stand for God. And your Goliath will come down. And the armies of God will win a battle. And they will win a victory. And your testimony will take you to another level. And you will fulfill the calling of God. You'll fulfill the destiny of heaven. And all of us, I believe our church is going to be a church that overcomes. It's going to be a church that's full of courage. It's going to be a church that does not bend, that does not bow, does not blink. It's a church that sets its face like a flint. It's a church that faces down difficult situations. It's not that they're not going to come. They will come. And Paul prayed as we close out this meeting. He says, I pray for me, Paul says to the church. He says, pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, and that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's never be intimidated. Never be intimidated by others who try and get us to keep our mouths quiet, to not speak words of faith, not speak words of life. Let's never bow to the spirit of intimidation. Let's bow our heads. I want to just pray for all of you right now. Father, I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your word that goes forth like a fire. Is your word not like a hammer? And Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against every spirit of intimidation in this place. And I stand against it in the name of Jesus Christ. I break its power. You spirits of intimidation, come off of God's people and loose them now. Father, I pray for a spirit of boldness. I pray for a spirit of faith. I pray, God, for courage to rise in every heart. People who are facing dire circumstances, God, that they would rise up in faith. That your word would go deep, Father. Lord, that they would not stand against that. They would not bow to that spirit of intimidation any longer, Father. But they would stand tonight. And Father, they would take a hold of you. And God, that you would do a new thing in our midst. That you'd make us an overcoming church, an overcoming body, that we would not fear, we would not be afraid, that God, that we would stand. In every spirit of fear, I break your power now. Loose God's people. I break your power. Come off of God's people. Lord, I pray your healing power to heal the hearts of your people tonight. Lord, I pray your angels to be loosed into this place. I pray for the anointing of your Spirit. I pray, God, for your Holy Spirit's power to manifest across your people. I pray, Father, Father, for strength, for faith. Oh, the spirit of fear to leave, and the spirit of love, and the spirit of power, and of a sound mind to invade the hearts of your people. I pray right now, Father, your presence. Touch your people tonight. Fulfill your purposes. Lord, let no one fear. Let no one be afraid. Lord, fill your people's hearts with faith. Fill them with your love and fill them with your presence. We thank you that you do it now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Amen.